Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, January 7th, 2016, and we are at CES yet again. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin.
Whatever happened to Oingo Boingo?
It was a dead man's party. But I did see the elevator man earlier, so.
And that would be Dave Hamilton.
Thanks for having me again.
It's awesome to have both of you here, and the fact that we can go right into serious Oingo Boingo talk, that's why I love you guys.
Serious Oingo Boingo talk.
Serious Oingo Boingo talk.
I haven't seen Danny Elfman here, though, so, you know.
Well, the day is young.
The day is young. I did run into Shaq yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And when I say I ran into Shaq, I actually ran into him. I was walking out of the Venetian, and he was walking in. And I said, oh, hey, sorry. He's like, no problem, little man. I am 6'3". And his comment was not inaccurate.
That is awesome. You know what? We can drop our mics. You just won CES right there, Dave. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Casper, the mattress company. I love mine, and I will be telling you why soon. But before we do that, I thought that we should probably hit a little bit of the news this week because we haven't talked about any current events related to Apple at all this week. So I figured that first we should talk a little bit about what's up with Angela Ahrendts. And so the quick version, just to get everyone up to speed. There's a lot of talk about the executive pay for Apple, and there have been a lot of articles bouncing around saying Angela Ahrendts is the highest paid Apple executive, and well, technically true, that isn't as big of news as people might be making it out to be.
It's not that simple. I mean, so Tim Cook got $2 million in salary for 2015. And he got no bonuses and no stock awards. And the other one, two, three, four, five, they're looking at five different executives: Luca Maestri, Angela Ahrendts, Eddie Q, Dan Riccio, and Bruce Sewell. Johnny Ive is not on that list for some reason.
It's because he's in his white room. That's all I've got. Anyhow, carry on, Brian.
Immediately going into cream mode, but they all got $1 million in salary and precisely $20 million and $105 in stock awards. And then Angela Ahrendts got a $500,000 bonus. So, as you put it when we were prepping the show, technically, these folks are right. She was the highest paid executive. But Tim Cook has this massive stock award from several years ago that vests. I mean, you can't look at when you're talking about executives at this level for a company as large as Apple or a company 20% as big as Apple or 10% as big as Apple, you can't look at their award at their compensation for any given year and consider it in an isolated fashion. Do you remember when, like, Steve Jobs got the massive stock bonus and the jet?
Right.
And everyone was freaking out because he was being paid like $1 billion or whatever the figure was at the time. But that's completely ridiculous because that stock award and that jet was essentially paying for all the years for which Steve Jobs had worked for a dollar. You know, and some of it wouldn't vest for several years more. So there's looking at the stuff in isolation is a fool's errand. So in this particular case, Angela Ahrendts got $500,000 more than the other top executives, but we actually don't know where that bonus was structured. It might have been part of her signing contract. It might have been because she hit some kind of milestone again that was probably laid out in her the contract that she signed to start working, and it means precisely nothing.
That well put. Yeah, this stuff is, you don't get the backstory here. You know, and so you're seeing literally the tip of the iceberg. Actually, perhaps figuratively, not literally, but
With Brian here, I think we should point out mostly figuratively.
It is figuratively the tip of the iceberg, but that's okay. It's not up to us to have to see all that stuff. However,
and that's also now I'm looking at this table a little better. That $500,000 bonus actually came in 2014, so.
Right. Yeah. The way this table's laid out is there's a line for 2015 as compared to 2014. So.
Right. And so I'm not sure. She got other compensation. All right. So now we actually have to look at this properly. She got other compensation of $779,000. And whereas the other top executives like Luca got $337,000 and the other top executives got a few tens of thousands of.
Maybe they're paying her a commission based on sales at the Apple store there.
Wouldn't that be a sweet gig? But I mean, you know, really, we're talking about Silicon Valley, and what are you going to do with $700,000 in Silicon Valley?
A down payment
on a house. On a down payment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I kid. But all right, so the bonus stuff that I spent several seconds talking about is irrelevant. The other compensation is what we don't know. But again, we have no idea what the context of that money is.
Right.
And making hay from that is ridiculous. This is an incredible team, and it's actually astounding that they're all getting so close to the same amounts of money. That's the surprising thing.
Yeah. But it sure makes it easy for accounting. Everyone makes the same. At least I assume so. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for helping sort that out, because it just seemed like there was more to the story than we were seeing.
Well, there's more to the story, and I think it ends with there's nothing to see here, right? I mean, not these aren't the droids you're looking for in a distracting sort of way, but just like move along. There's truly nothing to see here. It's just if there is something to see here, you got to go and dig a whole lot more. But again, I think it goes back, you know, you've got to look back at the employment contracts and the signing and all of that stuff. Move along. There are better things to do with our time.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, as long as we're moving on, how about if we move on to our sponsor, which is Casper, the mattress company. And I really love these guys because they changed my life, actually, quite literally. I went from almost no sleep every night to being able to sleep, and that's a huge thing. And so thank you, Casper, for making that happen. And what I'd love to see is that all of you, dear listeners, can get good night's sleep. There we go, as well. And so you really need to check out their mattresses. What they do is they take these different types of foam and put them together in the right way so you get the right support and the right bounce and the right flex. And it's like a tailor-made mattress just for you. Absolutely wonderful. And you're not going to overheat in them like you can do in many other foam mattresses. They totally nailed it. They're absolutely awesome. What they also nailed was the price. So in my case, I have the queen size. That's an $850 mattress. From them, from other people, it's going to be over $1,000 easy. And what they've done to make that even more enticing for you is they gave me a special URL you can go to, and that's casper.com/TDO. And once you're there, you use the discount code TDO, and you get $50 off a mattress. So that means the $850 mattress I have, you can pick up for $800. Also, they're not going to charge you shipping, so they send it right to you. You don't have to go to a store. They just send it to you. It's beautiful. It's magical. It's wonderful. And they use Timeless technology because the mattress fits in a box that's too small for it. Seriously, the mattress comes out. These boxes are bigger on the inside. It's awesome. So head over to the Casper website. That's casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress. And really, just go do it. They're awesome. You can trust me on this one. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor. Okay, so Brian, you stay on top of the stock market, at least as far as Apple's concerned, pretty well.
Normally. Yeah, this week has been a little bit tough.
Right, but I'm thinking you're caught up enough that that you might be able to offer some insight into what's happening right now with Apple. Their stock is below $100 for the first time in, what, a couple years?
A year.
All right, well, couple years, a year. You know, what's 365 days among friends?
That's true. So the stock opened up below $100 today. Still trading below $100 right now. It's at specifically, as I look without my glasses, $97.87 per share. And we have twin things at work here. The first is that lots of folks are, analysts are saying that Apple is paring down its orders for iPhone 6S and 6S Plus during the March quarter, and that may or may not be the case. Right? We've as Tim Cook has always hastened to tell us, making conclusions based on a limited snapshot of any aspect of Apple's supply chain is another fool's errand, although he didn't quite put it that way. And then we also have China with its own stock market meltdown of sorts relating to their controlled economy. So lots of stocks are down, and Apple's is one of them. The only thing that is Apple specific are these iPhone orders that may or may not go down this year. And, you know, usually in the past when we've seen things like this affect Apple stock, it's essentially temporary. The stock drops and then eventually it'll pick up again. It's just kind of the nature of being an Apple investor at this point.
All right. So do people need to be freaking out about Apple stock price?
Sell. Or buy.
Either one would be a good option.
Right.
So, I mean, I see this as a buying opportunity, but I wouldn't offer you stock advice because, A, I am a tiny Apple shareholder myself, and B, I'm not qualified to give you stock advice. But Apple is Apple has a lot of things coming. The company is trading at a very low PE. We know there are products that we know about that are coming, and we know that there are products that we don't know about that are coming. And personally, I've been in Apple for a very long time, and I just hold it. And if you're in Apple, I would just personally hold it. But again, I'm not giving you stock advice.
As a Apple shareholder as well, I'm not panicked. I'm just going to hold and, you know, not worry about it.
So Apple's not doomed?
No. I don't think Apple's doomed. No. And listen, here's the thing. Even if they are doomed, they've got a really, really long runway before they fizzle out. And I mean, I know it sounds trite to say that, we have all experienced a point in time when that was not at all the case. I mean, they were, you know, weeks away from not making payroll at one point, right about the time we started this publication, TMO. So, but they've got a really, really long runway right now. So I'm kind of thinking it's going to work out. It, if you're willing to hold. I mean, if you're a day trader, well, then you're not listening to this show for advice anyway. So, you know.
And if you are, stop.
Yeah, actually, if you are, I'd really be curious if, based on the advice from this show alone, which very rarely dabbles into this anyway, how you've been doing with that.
Yeah, let us know.
Observations at MacObserver.com, right?
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, then I guess I'm not going to worry about the stocks. And yeah, there you go.
So this is the Don't Worry About It show, isn't it?
It's the Don't Worry About It show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, we still have a couple minutes left, and we are at CES.
We are.
Do you guys have any observations that you want to share about the show so far?
I have not yet made my annual trip to the Central Hall with the purpose of just seeing the big TV displays. But so I wish I could share that here. But that's what I'm doing actually. Well, not as soon as I leave here, but it's on my list today because it's crazy to be here in Vegas and not just, you know, spend the whatever 45 minutes it takes to just live in that. So.
Right. And, you know, there's only so much we can do in a week on the show.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do a follow-up next week.
Yeah.
And recap our overall experience. I won't even have time to go look at the televisions.
Okay. I will say this. You know, I have a lot of people that say to me, wow, that's so awesome. You get to go to CES. And it is, you know, because of what we do here, it's very easy for me to become jaded about it and say, oh yeah, but it's Vegas and I got to deal with it. So there's been a couple of things. And I try to temper that when, you know, talking about this. This year though, there's been one thing that has made a huge difference for me for CES. And that is,
I want you to stop and think about if you really want to say this.
Yeah. You're leaving. And so am I. So I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Uber exists here in Las Vegas right now. As of about 3 months ago, they tried to come in. They were like years ago, they tried to come in and were fined and arrested and all kinds of crazy things because the taxi lobby is very strong here. But through whatever powers that be, Uber finally was able to make it work. And they've made it work so well that it's been my primary mode of transportation around here. It's so convenient, you know, and it's inexpensive. It's half the price of a cab ride. It's worked out really well, even on evenings when I would have, or congested times when I would have suggested or expected surge pricing to really be a problem. It hasn't. I've seen some surges, but nothing that even approach taxi rates. So it really has been a huge thing. That's sort of for me personally, only because it's something that it, you know, that has a transportation around town is never easy during CES, and this year it's been much easier. But I will say this: if you are somehow related to the industry and you have the ability to get a pass for CES, and really they're pretty loose on that, it is a cool thing to just come and experience.
Sure. Yeah.
It is a tough time to be in Vegas because it's, you know, there's 150,000 of your closest friends here with you, but it is a fun thing if you're a gadget person. It is a very unique thing to experience, and my guess is this type of thing will not exist for very much longer. I don't think CES exists in 10 years. I just, maybe it does, but I don't know. It you know, for the same reason that other trade shows or expos have failed, I don't think CES will have the same sort of glitz factor long term. It might exist for people to meet developers or to people to meet suppliers and distributors, but in terms of the glitz factor, I think it is worth coming to.
Well, at least you opened up that can of worms with only a few seconds left in the show.
Thanks.
Yeah. But CES does occupy a different space in the global economy,
correct,
than any other show. And I'm not so sure that within 10 years people are going to be willing, not on the press side, but on the retailer and distributor side,
yeah,
are going to be willing to throw away that FaceTime and handshake.
Right. But I think the aspect of it that attracts us to it may fade in the next 10 years. And that therefore means the types of things that our listeners might appreciate about coming here and seeing, I think the window is short.
Well, that particular luster may in fact be fading by the end of this week.
Well, for us certainly, but we'll rekindle it for next year.
Yeah, sure. Of course we will.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, we're pretty much out of time. So we're going to have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
And Brian, thank you for being here too.
Dave's pleasure.
As always. And Casper, thank you so much for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, please. Casper.com/TDO and use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off. Killer mattress, and I really love mine, and I want you guys to sleep as well as I do. So go get your Casper mattress. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.